Florida.
Yes, yeah. He is. And since we're done with this, we'll give you an update on Ray real quick. And then Mark Blackwell. Give me just a second. While we're doing that, before I read the statement, Madam Chairman, we do have a quorum.
Yes, we do.
Benita got a call today. I called Ray Edwards and was talking to him, and he had a little stay in the hospital. Why don't you just go ahead and bring him up to speed real quick. Oh, you already told him? Okay, so if you've all already heard.
Didn't know. Okay.
I think he's doing well, with the possibility that he had an implant for a pacemaker or something like that. I'm not sure about that, but waiting on the weather to get warm so he can go fishing, so he didn't really lose any time and everything. And I told Benita he's probably in a good space for that, because there's a lot of people.
He's enjoying the frozen orange juice.
Yes, he is. Yes.
And do you have an address for him in Florida, Benita?
No.
But you could get it an address.
I have his phone number, and you can call him up.
Okay.
Or we can, if you want us to call and get an address, we can do that for you. If you prefer, whichever way.
Yeah. I would like to have.
We're gonna mail him some sunshine.
Yeah. He sounded a little down.
Okay.
But he said he was doing fine.
Okay. Well, if you could do that by tomorrow, then email that address to us.
Do you have a good email address for everybody?
Okay.
Except for Ray.
I don't have Ray. I don't have Carl. I don't have Randall.
What's that?
Email address. If you have one of those, and would send it to us.
I'm sure my wife has one.
Doesn't have a crazy. Put lick stamps and puts them on his computer.
Okay, the Taney County Planning Commission public hearing procedures. Public hearings are required and governed by the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held on each Division 3 application which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission staff. The Taney County Development Guidance Code is Exhibit A, the staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file including all pertinent information for each case is Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing. A staff report for each request will be read to the commission, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If you would like to comment at the public hearing, you must sign the sheet, which is provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it is your opportunity for comment, your name will be called. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the Planning Commission, not to anyone in the audience. The Planning Commission may allow additional comment if so desired. At the conclusion of public comments, the public hearing on each request will be closed, and the regular meeting of the Planning Commission will be held 1 week after the public hearing. The projects will be reviewed and voted on by the Commission at that meeting. The regular meeting is an open meeting, however, no additional public comment shall be taken unless expressly requested by the Commission, and you may leave after your case is heard. While we've got everybody's attention, next week's meeting does fall on Tuesday, as Monday is a holiday. So it'll be a
can allow them to have their election, too? Or pardon? Do they need to have their election still? Or?
Oh, yeah. Well, I just
why don't we put that off to new business or old business or something and go ahead with the public hearing? Is that okay if we could modify that and go ahead with the public hearing? Since we're all ready to go ahead with the public
hearing. Do you want to go right into this?
Yeah, I do.
Before we get started, if you are here to speak tonight and you want to speak to what's on our agenda, make sure that you've signed up. I don't have anybody's name on here.
She's here.
I know the representative's here. I just didn't know if there's anybody else. This is the Division 3 staff report for the Cedar Creek Air Park, or Perfect Landing Air Park, dated January 11, 2010, case number 09-33. The public hearing for the air park located at 1272 Brass Lantern Road in the Cedar Creek Township, Section 21, 22, 27, and 28, in Township 22 and Range 19. The applicant, Daniel Warner, requests approval to develop a private residential air park with residential and commercial lots. History is that this project was previously approved. There's been some minor changes in it on November 19, 2007. General description of the subject property is located off the intersection of Missouri State Highway M and Missouri State Highway KK at Cedar Creek, 1 mile west on Missouri KK, 1 mile south on Ward Benz Road to Brass Lantern Road, 1 mile on the right. The adjoining properties to the request consist of residential and agricultural. The proposed site will consist of a private residential air park, 153 residential lots, 23 commercial lots, limited public access, a gated private community, and a 5,000-foot hard surface runway. Summary, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. Number 1, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code that include plans for the following. A, sediment and erosion control. B, stormwater management. D, land grading permit. D, delineation of the 100-year floodplain. E, utility easements and building line setbacks. F, foliage screening or fencing for commercial areas that adjoin residential tracts. G, improvement with scale of building, street, on-site parking, and utilities. Number two, compliance letters from the fire sewer, DNR, Taney County Assessor's Office, and the Water District. Number three, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Number four, Division 1 and Division 2 permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. Number five, all commercial, residential, and airport-related uses will be permitted separately with site plan. Number six, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days where the approval shall expire. Okay, let's take you to the video.
Okay, can we clarify the name? Because, for instance, on your document, you talk about the Cedar Creek Air Park, and now we've got Perfect Landing, Someday Ranch. Is there an official name for this project?
On the application I got this time,
okay,
it just said Air Park.
Okay.
In the past, it's been called Perfect Landing.
Okay.
On site out there, there is Equestrian Air Park. There's Perfect Landing or Perfect Air Park. So we can settle on, but I think that would be Ms. Warner's decision. And we'll settle on whatever she would like to call that development. But there may be several things going on. So, yes, I think we should. But so we've tried to describe it as best we can and everything out there. But on this particular application, it does say Air Park, and I was just trying to tell you where we were.
Okay.
What we're going to do, I know this is spelled, should be P-R-E-C-T. Because there is no track going out there, no horse track, no race track, no anything like that. Originally, when this project came to us, these are the tracts of land that were included in it before anything was split off, sold, replatted, or anything like that. Okay, so that's how when this thing came to us originally, that's how it sat. Go to the next one, Dan. This was the original request that came to us. 142 residential lots, 24 commercial lots for a total of 166, and this was how this was going to be split out. And, of course, the original permit number. This is the resubmission. We're at 153 lots, 23 commercial lots for a total of 176 lots. There's been a few changes, in some roads. There's no change in the outside boundary lines here. On this particular plat, with the exception of what we're going to show, they are going to go ahead and add this 15 acres in here, if I'm not mistaken. And we're going to show you that in just a second. But that was something they discussed with you at the last meeting about adding, and that is for their hangar area and everything, the ones they would rent. Okay, Dan, let's this is how those tracts of land that we showed you at the start, this is how it is split up according to the assessor at this particular time. So down in this area here is where we did the minor sub here, and this is the road that's being put in down through here. Can you go back one more, Dan?
Yep.
And these are the different pieces of property that have been sold. Now, I've been asked by several people, do these lots fit into this new preliminary plat that we have, and I'm going to say they probably do, although they might not appear just like this. This may be one lot now instead of two, everything, but that's some study that we'll have to do to make sure. But I believe most things fit in there. Now, I'm going to tell you too, you'll notice there's what looks to be a road here. This is not a platted road. This is something that was put in by the assessor's office based on some legal descriptions and everything they had. There will be a road put in here, but that road there doesn't really exist, and it doesn't have to be vacated or anything like that. Let's go ahead and go to the next one, Dan. Again, this was the minor sub that we approved recently. And let's go ahead and go to the next one. And this is just a blow-up of the other areas that we've seen. That this is a little closer. Now, this is that section I was telling you about that doesn't. It's not really going to be an issue of any kind. Okay, Dan. This is kind of a closer version of what she's wanting to do with phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four, phase five. Right now, this is the minor sub that you approved. This part of this road has been put in down to here. This is going to be on the plat. This is going to be replatted a little bit, widened, in the cul-de-sac moved down here close to the lodge house. It's down here. What her intention is now, because this is already platted, filed, and sold, this green area, is, you know, things work out fine dandy, she wants to immediately come in flat and then begin to sell these lots here. All of these lots will have frontage on one of these existing roads on a brass lantern, with the exception of these two lots, and she may need to bond those until she gets this part of this road in down here, which she can do. But these are, or actually, it just has to be platted. These are above 5 acres, so the road only has to be platted. It doesn't actually have to exist down to that point. So what we have is we have some areas along through here, along here. I can't remember exactly everywhere it was, but you have some areas that are going to be less than 2 acres that are going to require DNR-approved wastewater treatment plant. I believe she's already contacted DNR, and some of that is going on. It does take a while. There's an anti-degradation study to be done, then a system to be engineered so that DNR can look at some other things like that. And so this, as you can see, this green area, now I'm not working. This green area here, she would want to plat next, and probably pretty soon. Then we'll go to this one, then this one. Now, before these can be platted, they're going, you know, that's when the DNR approved system is going to have to begin and going on.
And where would the sewer plant go?
She's going to have to point that out to you. There are some areas here. This is the area I was talking about that's being added for the hangar area, if I'm not mistaken. Here, this is the next additional 15 acres. It wasn't included in the original plat. At one time, there was going to be two different treatment plants, one up on this side of the runway, one up on this side. But Ms. Warner can tell you where they plan to put those and if they're going to go with one or two or what the case might be. Also involved in all this, you will have your commercial lots, and at this particular juncture, some of those lots will be tied in with the operations of the airstrip and everything like that. But some of them will be things like, I believe, like convenience stores and things like that. So in the past, we've approved this kind of concept with the hospital that the when they get ready to develop the commercial area, they come back and tell you what the use is going to be.
They ask if they can use. Well,
yes, sir. They come back and tell you what the request is.
Right, it's a request. I've got a couple questions.
Let me say one more thing before we go much further. This road, when it was put in an effort to help facilitate things, went in as a gravel road. I believe now any other road going here, especially with these kind of lots and everything, by road and bridge standards, are going to require them to be chip and seal. So it's going to be a different kind of a road. And these lots had access to electricity close by that can drop into here from that. But as we get into these areas here and everything, electricity may need to be ran and everything is part of the infrastructure. Yes, sir.
Lots, like, it looks like they're 2 acre lots looking at this thing here. 61, 62, 63, and 64. How do you get to those? It's question number one. There's no road.
Yeah, and that's something that I did mention, that in the way that some of this stuff had been platted and drawn, and it was landlocking some of this stuff. Again,
and they can't give any of that road, because I was looking on here, those were 2 acre lots, one of them's 2.01, the others, two of them are two, and one of them's 2.17. You really can't give any easement on those lots for the road on that side, or you'd lose your 2 acre minimum. Correct?
Unless they would then tie that into the sewer system, yes. Sir.
Okay.
Dan, let me get Dan to flip back. Dan, if you'll flip back to how it's platted right now, that's this area right here. Mm-hmm. And there were several issues with this surveyor, and you can see here he platted everything the way Caney County would do it.
Yeah.
Here he platted as if you were in Green County or somewhere like that, where they flat the lot with the road in it.
Yeah.
Of course, we don't do that, which caused an issue when you start getting down here. We discussed about these being landlocked and everything like that. So this is something they're splitting up here again. And again, this is a preliminary. When we go over this plat for approval to be signed, that is something we say these are landlocked. Nancy, go ahead and flip back to where we were. this right here would have to be taken care of. Now,
well, in the past, when we've looked at that stuff to vote on it, we've asked for a solution before we voted on it. Now, that may not be the final solution.
Right,
I may work with you guys a little bit, but I would like to see some type of, before I vote next week, I'd like to see a solution to
because
what those are, because we don't want to, I don't want to vote on anything that I've seen on paper that's landlocked.
Right, when you get into this right here, of course, we don't let this end in a dead
well, end. Well, and I'm looking at different, this one actually has a cul-de-sac on it.
Okay.
But there is no road to 16.
Dan, what happened to that? I don't know. Go back, do you have the big one of that, or was that it?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to that. We had this big one for you, which we wanted to look at and bring up to you. And everything, because right here, it does bring a cul-de-sac in there and takes care of all that.
But at least this drawing I've got still 61, 62, 63, 64.
The big drawing I laid there is the one that she presented to us just the other day.
Okay.
And so it should come in like this, and there is a cul-de-sac in there which takes care of all of that.
Except these four.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that is correct. So,
and then my other question is for the runway right here, on that where my finger's at.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to tell on this paper drawing, but how much, I mean, she has to leave some space between that and the core or not.
Uh-huh. Usually it could be that breadth of the easement with driveways and roads and things like that.
And runways?
Not done a runway before. Because
last time I checked, those planes had wings on them.
Yes, sir, they did.
So,
hopefully
they kind of go past.
You can't build anything or have anything within 15 feet of core property.
That's what I thought. I knew it. And I'm not sure if this is core. I know this is.
Yes, sir. This is core.
Okay. Then there might be some core issues there.
Right. And there may not be bone on the drawing.
Okay. I would just saw that and thought, you know, especially since that's a little bit different.
Yeah, this will have to be looked at.
Okay.
But as a preliminary plat, you know, it's not something we're going to file, you know, and everything, but it's something you can support.
Well, I just, we've had questions on this one before.
Right.
So anything that we can...
Anything you can say, let's get it out.
Get it out. Let's get it out so we don't delay the project.
Another question while we're asking. Property that's being proposed as a platted subdivision. Are there co-applicants, or is she the only owner of property in the area in question?
That's a question. There are some co-owners on the minor sub that we did. There had to be some additional owners that signed and notarized to do the minor sub. On this, the probability would be yes.
How many?
Back about three or four months ago, I presented you a map showing how many pieces of property there were out there and how many different owners. A lot of those are investors. Some of them are the same, the Warners, under different names, like you have Equestrian Air Park, you have Perfect Air Park, you know, have some different things like that, which she may not be the sole owner of, but she's part of the entity of that and has the right to sign for it. That's a question we really probably need to ask her and see.
But didn't several of these lots already get sold?
Yes, sir. That's
to third parties?
Yeah, Dan, can you go back again? Of course, all of the lots in here are sold. And as we widen this road and replat this, you know, there'll have to be some kind of agreement there. On this, it'll come in with the plat on all the screen area, because they're wanting to widen this and actually put the road right down this side, which changes the size of these lots, and they can replat down here because they can go on this. Several of the lots right down in here were sold. Some people bought two of the lots, some people bought one lot, and everything. I believe this plat, though, incorporates those lots as they sit. There was this lot up here, I believe, sold. And everything, but I don't know that this plat is going to change those particular lots. Now, down in here, it will. I did have a call from a gentleman last week, said he bought two lots and he thought it was being replatted into one lot. And was he still going to be able to build two houses there when he got ready? And of course, I told him if you've got one lot, you can build one structure. Not to say that you couldn't split it, but you'll have to go before our board to do that if it's a plat subdivision.
But she couldn't plat a subdivision on your property. how does she plat one on these individuals' property without them joining in the application? Just a question.
The only thing I can say, Mr. Paulson, is that they bought their lots based on a preliminary plat just like this.
Which there is no such thing as a preliminary plat.
I understand that. I understand what you're saying. There is not a recorded plat for the subdivision. You are correct. People saw this and bought these lots, and they say, I want this lot or I want that lot. It was transferred to them by warranty deed without a plat being filed. And in so doing, these people kind of know what they bought and where it's supposed to be out there. And I believe as she would bring us a plat in, she's going to incorporate that around that lot. I'm not sure I fully understood your question, except for the fact you're saying, I bought a lot out here, and now they're going to put a subdivision around.
Well, I couldn't come onto your property, and I couldn't come in and say, okay, I want to plat this piece of property. It's Eddie's property, and here's what I plan to do.
That is correct.
So she's doing this on mostly her property, or the entities
right.
are doing it mainly on their property. But there are some lots here and there that aren't their property, and are they having these individuals sign off on this or co-apply or...
When we talked with Ms. Warner at our pre-application conference, we did indicate to her that there were several parcels out here that we would consider non-compliant due to the way they were sold and transferred or the size of them, something like that, and that she needed to do whatever she could to make sure that she brought these into compliance, either by having letters from these people saying it's okay to, you know, to replat, different things like that, or as the plat came through, that they would have to have a notary section on there that they're okay with what's going on. She cannot take Eddie's lot. Let's say this was Eddie's lot. She can't come in and reconfigure my lot without my okay. That will be something we will have to scrutinize as a plat would come to us, that everybody has signed off on it.
But whether or not she's reconfiguring it, she's platting it. Whether they thought it was already platted or not, it wasn't.
Right.
Does she not need something from them?
Yes, sir. Everybody will have to have a sign-off that owns property on that plat. I think there's 19 different owners out here. She may be a controlling entity for 12 or 15 of those. And so, you know, where she could sign off and do that. But the rest of these, yes, sir, if they're going to file a plat that incorporates that, it will have to be...
Okay.
We'll have to have a sign.
Do we have to get that before we... I see exactly what you're saying. I agree. We have to have that. Do we have to get that before we move or, you know, vote on that? I mean, because until then, they're not really... All the property owners aren't submitting it to us if we don't have the okay, are they?
I think you're probably right, but, I mean, what do you think, Eddie?
I'm just thinking about how much work she needs to do this week.
It's easier to have everything up front. And I suppose, Bob, a notarized affidavit from each owner.
It'd be in their interest to get this approved because
right.
if they really
right.
want the
exactly
lot.
Exactly right. And the people that I've talked to understand that this is a development and it's going through some changes and things like that. But if they do not have the power of attorney to speak for these people, we probably need an affidavit notarized saying...
That's in their best interest, and it's in the other.
And that's something
best
that she could collect this week.
Yeah.
And everything, you know, and I don't know how many of those she would need to do. Some of them are local, some of them are out of state. I don't know how many different entities there are out there because I'm not sure what names go with who and everything. But eventually, right now, what she would need, well, you may want it from everybody that's already got property sold. That might be the way to go because you're looking at a whole number of crap. Her next move would be to do this green area. So I was going to say maybe she can get this green area. But probably the cleanest thing would be to get everybody...
If we're going to vote on it, then I would... Okay. I see exactly what he's saying. And if we're going to vote on it, then I would feel a lot more comfortable if we had... And I'm fine with, if you're fine with, a notarized affidavit or something that says, yes, we want to submit to that or however you want it in writing. you know, that says that that way all of the owners in this
know what's going on.
Know what's and that we are, that's you know, they're right. all submitting yeah. to ask us to do that.
I have no qualms about that at all. I think in the past we've accepted notarized affidavits from property owners. I'm thinking about Mr. Vogel when he was doing the Mount Branson, where he had a lot of these things on contract, and each one of the property owners gave an affidavit, you know, that he could go ahead and proceed. But that was a little different situation. They owned the property. He was asking to change it to a...
The contract is a property interest, though. And if she's... If the entities have conveyed the property, they no longer have a property interest in that piece of property. It's not under contract. It's not. Right. It's conveyed.
Yes. So I guess my question to you, Bobby, is that sufficient if we have a notarized affidavit, or do we need something different?
I think just to cover ourselves, I think, because we are affecting their property, it's in their best interest to do this, because if they want what they bought, they need to go along. But, I mean, they should at least have to sign off on it saying we're in favor of this, because it is their property and we're approving a plat that includes their property. And if they don't want in, I don't think it's a wise decision on their part, but I think we need to cover ourselves, have everybody sign off on this. If they're included in the plat.
Which,
well, everybody will be.
Everybody is.
Everybody will be. So.
Because it seems like to me when we voted on that phase one up there, what, a couple months ago, everything else was just one piece at that point. The rest of it doesn't exist anymore. Even though I have some of
that's this. That was the attitude that was taken.
So. Yeah. So I would certainly feel a lot more comfortable having us. Thanks for bringing that up. And that's something that, I mean, we don't need to see, but she could bring it to Eddie's office and he could say, yes, we've got them all before we vote on it.
My concern is that we, because what I'm hearing here is confusion as to lots that are owned by other people now. You know, so lots that have transacted sales contracts with them. Are those necessarily a part of this project? Or are those to be accepted from this project?
I don't know how you would accept them. First of all, without getting into a lot of acrimonious type stuff, I don't know that they were lawfully conveyed. They were in fact conveyed.
Right.
Consideration was given for them. And they are platted on a map. That was never a preliminary plat or an approved situation. And these people own...
Something.
Own something. And they know what they own, and it fits into this map. And how do you exclude them from the plat that is part of what they were buying, I guess, when they bought it?
So if it's reconfigured,
they're wanting to
part
do
of
these.
The property, actually.
I'm sorry.
I mean, they're going to be served by the roads.
Right.
They're going to be served by the electrical.
They are part of the air park. Plain and simple, these people bought to be part of the air park. So as we file plats, these lots will be included in those plats. That's her intention when you see phase one, phase two, and everything like that. That's how these will be brought into compliance. This is what exists out there right now as far as being platted.
And he brings up a good point. When we ask for any application...
Sure.
We need the property owner of record to apply for that. Well, there's 19 or 20 property owners of record, so we need something from all of them.
Okay, I understand
that says,
what you're saying,
yes, this is what we want to do.
Yes.
And I don't
hopefully
know,
something simple, not something...
And I don't know how you would approve it without them in there, because part of the reason for going along with this is to straighten everything out and make it okay.
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Where are we with all of the other historical things in terms of bonding, in terms of stop work orders? Do we need to have a refresher course on the history of this property?
of course, I'll start at the stop work order. Stop work was placed on there and is still in place. It has not been lifted as of this writing, or as of this meeting, I'm sorry. We did grant the approval of a minor sub, as you know, in this area here. We did issue a letter at that time saying, in an effort to help bring the project into compliance, we will allow the work necessary to complete the road and the infrastructure for the minor sub with stop work order staying in place. The second step was to bring the project back and try to work out all these other issues. Because there are properties that are platted, there's no road platted to them. Some of them, there's no DNR proof sewer or anything like that yet. And so doing a lot of these things cannot be fixed without either some lenience from this board or from our large sum of money to try and bond everything. So there is a stop work order out there. This road that we put in here will open up these areas because most of those tracts are able to have 2 acres or more able to put in their own septic system. There will need to be electricity to the properties and everything like that. But it does bring this piece of property here now comes into compliance and everything. It doesn't address this one up here. It doesn't address these down here, anything like that. Overall, but she would be working toward that. We had a bond for the land disturbance on the runway of $42,000 at our last meeting. Ms. Warner requested a release of that bond, that the runway had grown back in and was stabilized, and they weren't going to be doing any more work out there for a while. I did go out and look at that. I am working on trying to release some of that. There are some bare spots out there, so we're still going to hold some. We would probably be holding out of the 42, somewhere around 12,000 to 15,000 of that. We did release, I think, about half of the bond for this road here, and are still holding what needs to be there to complete the rest of this road out here. It's not finished yet. And everything, and I'm guessing that's due to the weather, would be what I'm thinking. And she would be on about finishing that here just real shortly, as soon as the weather clears. So there is still a stop work order in place. We are in the process of trying to release some bond on this. We're having some computer issues with IS finding the proper documents to release that, so we have the correct records and everything. And then part of the bond up here has been released and returned to her. So.
Is this proposed in phases, the current one?
Yes, sir. Dan, if you'll run back. This particular go-round, it wasn't before, but this particular go-round, here's what she's looking to do.
Right. And she's going to have to bond each phase, and each phase would then be awarded once she bonds it or builds the infrastructure, one
that,
or the other.
That is correct. Now,
what has she done to the lots that have been conveyed? Are they all in one phase? Are they in the first phase? Or
the Dan, if you'll flip back up. I want to make sure I'm asking. Two more, Dan. You're talking all of these lots here.
The ones that have been sold. Yeah. Which phase are they in?
They come into different phases. And I'm going to show you. There's a lot up here, and then of course this is in the area of the minor sub, but you've got lots down here too. Okay. Now Dan, flip back to the phase if you don't mind. And what you're going to see is this. This is back in here where you've seen some of that sold. And, of course, on this it appears to be landlocked. There's been a little difference on that. But this is the minor sub that she bonded the road. And it's got the road built down to here. And of course, the plat is filed on this and everything. Her intention is to do a little bit of a replat of this minor sub along with this green area here. All these lots are 2 acres or above. They all have road frontage with the exception of these two here, which are above 5 acres. Our code book states that if you're 5 acres or more, the road has to be platted, but it doesn't have to exist.
I guess what my question is you can bond for the infrastructure for one of the phases.
Yes.
And maybe it helps one or two people that have already purchased property.
That's
but
right.
You get to sell a bunch more property.
That is correct.
Before you've done anything for other people that have already purchased property and aren't protected by a bond. Is anything being done concerning that, or are we just...
Here you've got lots that have been sold that are going to require the sewer system to be in place, something like that, and you see that's phase four. So what would happen is the lots in this area will be sold. The lots in this area would be sold, and this road put in, before you ever get down to correcting this. Again, that's what I'm saying, because of the way this is all split up. Of course, this is phase five, and there's just a lot of piers being sold. So before you ever get up into phase five, which is going to be the very last thing on this, the rest of this would be sold.
And if somebody goes, if somebody on lot 157, that lot up there on the top, decides they want to pull, after DNR stuff and everything, decides they want to pull a building permit, the way that our codes state, they have how long to get all the services to them? 90 days?
They have 90 days to have working infrastructure to that lot now.
But that phase won't be approved yet, and they wouldn't be able to pull anything, right?
Approved, no. I mean, approved by whom? Us?
Lot 157.
They're not coming to us and asking for approvals in phases.
Lot 157 is 3.22 acres.
That's how they're going to build it.
So
they have to bond the whole thing and not bond it in phases? If the whole thing is approved, do they have to bond the whole thing, or do they have to just bond phases as they go?
Again, we are here with the understanding that without a large sum of money, there's no way this place can be brought into compliance as far as bonding is concerned, because we're like you say, we would have to bond everything, every road, all the infrastructure. We would have to bond the sewer systems, everything like that. We cannot even bond the sewer systems yet because they've not been engineered and they've not been approved by DNR, so we don't know what they are, what they are even going to cost.
Okay, but if you've got someone up here in lot 157, you've got someone down here in lot 71 through 80, and then you've got someone over here in 112 and 113, and they decide they want to get their permits to build a house or something. How are they going to get their infrastructure, roads, or their everything else to them without being bonded?
That is the dilemma that does face us in trying to work out a solution that we can bring these back into compliance. Ms. Warner will tell you that many of the people that have bought up here, and I've had several calls from people stating this, that we bought this as an investment and we don't plan to build for a while. That doesn't mean that they couldn't come in tomorrow and ask for a permit. They could.
That's not anywhere in our code that says if we take a call from somebody that says, I don't plan
If they came in and tried to pull a permit for this, we would say, first of all, there's no road. Secondly, they could put a septic system out here. They could put their own well. There is no electricity, but unless there's an existing road, and there's not been a plat filed, so we would look at it and say, we won't issue a permit for this lot. At which time, then, we have a serious non-compliance situation again. They've got an issue that they probably would take to the Attorney General, at the very least.
I don't see how we could not bond them. I don't see how the whole goal here is to get things moving forward. But on the other hand, we also have, I feel like we have a responsibility to protect all the landowners out here, including the owner of lot 157.
Sure.
And I don't see, and I'm just using that one because it's easy to see up there. I don't see how we cannot take a bond for at least the portions to all the lots that are currently sold or owned by other owners.
And I'm not opposed to taking a bond.
I mean, I'm saying that to you out loud and to them so they know.
And everything. But I think if we go to Ms. Warner and say, I need a bond for this road, I need a bond
She's not going to be able to
this road, I need the bond for the electrical, also for both the sewer systems, how many of you are putting in, everything like that. And I know that the sewer system is probably going to be well over $100,000.
Well, I know, but we still have a responsibility.
Yes, sir. I agree.
And if they come in to pull that building permit and we didn't do what we're supposed to do on our end.
Yes, sir. I understand that. I'm just saying.
Shouldn't it be approved in phases? With each phase being bonded?
You can approve it in phases and say, when you've got this done, come back, let me see how it goes, and then we'll go to the next phase. You can approve it in phases, but it doesn't stop the slot being sold. The slot's already sold.
Yeah.
I mean, we can approve it and say, all we're going to deal with is this right here. The rest of it's not approved.
Is there some mechanism as stuff is sold that money can be put in an escrow account or as a bond to keep them protected so that they can continue to build, but some money's drawn off to try to protect the people that have already purchased property? I don't know how that would be done.
I suppose you could try some kind of a stipulation like that in your decision of record because of the noncompliance that you want a certain amount of money to go into escrow account for them to be held? How much, Bob? You see what I'm saying? How much and
well, this is kind of uncharted territory.
It's very uncharted territory, and again, that's why we had our meeting and we're trying to take some steps here to accomplish. That's why with this minor sub, we were okay with this minor sub because we knew on that particular area she could bond that, she could make that thing right, and we knew whoever bought that property could use it.
Right.
And so we were okay with that. I don't know, unless they've got a tub full of money that they haven't shared with us yet, I don't even know how we could charge her a bond because we have no idea what a sewer system would cost, or maybe two sewer systems, or anything like that. It would be expensive. I'm not saying we shouldn't, and I'm not saying we shouldn't ask her to make some provisions to say, we've got a lot of areas that are not non-compliant here. I need to finish this section, but so much of this money from the sales of this will go into a holding account toward bonding the areas that are non-compliant. We've never done that.
I don't know the legalities because I haven't done the research, but how, because this is uncharted territory, but what about the people that have purchased property? We know at least theoretically what the purchase price of that property was. They could do a property switch by getting them to agree to take property in phase one in return for the property in whatever other phase it is, or money could be put aside that is equal to the amount of whatever their purchase price was for that lot, so that if the infrastructure never gets put in, at least they could be given their money back on the lot. And I don't know if that, any of that's legal. I haven't done the research. I'm just trying to think here what's going to protect the people who have purchased property in non-platted areas.
But then also you gotta look at if she wants to go and bond phase two. Okay. Are they still going to sell property in phase 3, 4, and 5?
Right.
They shouldn't be selling.
That's why you don't only approve phase at a time.
In any phase that has not got a recorded plat.
Well,
but if they sell one lot in something, then it should have to come before us and be bonded, shouldn't it?
Because if somebody pulls a building permit,
pulls a permit,
which is where we came to start with, guys. We shouldn't be transferring any land to anybody without a recorded plat.
Right.
Okay, in this kind of development. We just shouldn't be doing it.
Okay, but if she records that whole, let's say it gets approved, and she records it as it looks like up there, all those lots, lot 150.
All this?
All of it. Okay. She records that, and can, legally, she can sell.
She could sell.
Lot 150.
Sure.
But I think what we're saying is she shouldn't be able to sell that if there's not something in place to make sure
right.
that we can get infrastructure.
The only way we would allow this to be platted is if she came to us and we said, okay, it's got to have this road based on the size of lots, it's got to have electricity, and if any of these are below 2 acres, it's got to have a sewer system.
You're suggesting that they're going to approve the entire plat and you're only going to sign off on administratively so that they can record that plat. Phase by phase as they bond or put the infrastructure in.
Her request is to have the project approved and to do it in these phases.
And so, only phase one, for instance, will be recorded once she has the bond in place for phase one.
Phase one is recorded. It's the minor sub we did. Phase two would be this green area. And she will either have all of the infrastructure in or she will bond that. Now, that takes care of many things. Everything that's in the green and anything that was sold previous or anything like that. It does not take care of this or anything like that. It just doesn't take care of that because that's not part of it. Now, how they would manage the capital they raise, I don't know. If you need some assurances from them and we can say, as you go in and sell some of this stuff, we want you to put back some money into an escrow account.
Is phase two helping anybody that's purchase property? Is it bringing
Dan,
infrastructure to anybody who's purchased property?
Go back real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Phase two would take in, if I'm not mistaken, this down here, and then go back again, Dan. And it does do this up in here. So, all the small lots along the runway, no. So you'll kind of see this is the area we're talking about here. Go back one more, Dan. We're talking this area down in here, and then this piece right here. Now go again down to the phasing. and that's what we're talking. So all this area is right along there. No.
As long as you're only recording them in phases and they're being bonded before they're built, at least you're moving in the right direction, I guess, is what you're saying.
We still have property owners out there that have bought, they're hanging out, and if it defaults at any time, I say between phase two and three, phase two will be fine because we will have it bonded and taken care of, but everything else that's sold off up in here or whatever like that, they're hung out.
But then who's going to be liable for that?
What are we doing by approving the entire plat with these people's subdivisions having not taken a bond?
I don't know. What I'm saying is we're not so much approving the plat as we're approving the request for the project, similar to what we would do at Branson Creek. They came in, we've got track this. Here's our whole big project, hotels, everything like that. Here's what we're going to do. Okay, we're going to do it in phases.
So we're going to see her every time she comes and does a different phase?
Your choice.
Okay, so that's our choice, kind of like we chose to
you
do
can
so.
Say,
Mesa Creek.
We're okay with phase one. We want to see that it's done in a certain way, in a timely manner. And so you proceed with phase one, and
okay.
We'll see you again for approval of phase two or phase three if you would choose to do that.
Okay.
Can you, Mr. Coxey, for certainly by next week, and using this diagram, which I assume is reflective of this?
Yes, ma'am.
Pretty close.
Pretty close.
A few things have changed.
But you want to see the properties that have already been sold?
I do.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, ma'am, we can do that.
Okay.
I'd given you, at one time I had, yes, ma'am, I can do that.
Okay. Well, Mrs. Warner, why don't you come forth and... You've heard our discussion and considerations, and so how is life in Cedar Creek?
It's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
We're all yours.
Okay, I probably could have saved you a lot of time. This lot up here, 3-point-whatever acres, going to be combined with that to make it over 5 acres, so we just need the easement platted.
So that takes care of that. So 5, she plats the easement, and it's okay.
Phase two takes care of a couple of these that are sold here and a couple that are sold here. The reason we did it the way we did it is because we already put in the expense to do that whole road, which makes all those lots compliant. They're 2 to 5 acre tracks. These are all along the county road, so there's no infrastructure needed there. We made those 5 acres so that we could also just use an easement. So that whole phase two, there should be no bonding because they all have what's required.
Is there power down that road?
Pardon me?
Is there power down the roadway easement on that?
Yeah, we live on that track right there. There's power that comes from the main road.
And all down Brass
Lantern.
And
power that goes right down Brass Lantern, yes.
Ms. Warner, if I could real quick. Right in here. Mm-hmm. These are below 5 acre tracts. It doesn't look like this one has frontage on.
Yeah, that little piece right there is an easement.
Okay, I mean that would show up on the plat.
It's a runway.
And of course we'd examine the plat like we always do. So.
But other than that little area, there's nothing there that should be bonded. Every one of those tracts are able to be built on according to the code books, which is why we set it up the way we did. So that as soon as this concept is approved, we can file the phase two, bring those owners in, we can start more sales to move on to phase two and to phase three. We combined what we could, a lot of these here, they own 2 acres together, but I didn't want to add those and combine those on this phase because then I'm looking at bonding another area, which will slow me down from doing this, and we're just ready to get moving so we can get everybody compliant.
With 2 acres, these tracks would need existing road frontage, but they then are eligible for septic. So there wouldn't have to be a DNR-approved sewer system.
And as far as all the owners, we've got letters from everybody. We know almost all these people, maybe all but two. They know they signed a statement saying there is no water, there is no utilities. There isn't now, there may never be. You may never have utilities. And they have signed those, so I will get you copies of all those on this second phase.
Will the copies be sufficient of
I can get you
letters in terms of what you all were asking about?
I don't know if that matters, though. Does it? about the statements that they signed. I mean, it's our code.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's our county code. There has to be utilities.
Yeah. That's fine. On this phase two, just like we did on phase one, everybody who owns in that phase is signing on the plat itself. So,
but
you can't contract around the code is what he's saying.
Right. I mean,
you can't say, we know we're not in compliance with the code. We're not, we may never provide the infrastructure that the code requires, and it's okay with you. Well, it's okay with them. It's not okay, with them.
No, I'm talking about the final phase we're getting ready to put forth.
I know, but you had mentioned about there may never be.
That's
really...
Okay. It's irrelevant.
It is.
Okay.
I mean, because we look at it from a code standpoint and go, we have to make sure this is provided.
Mm-hmm.
If they...
Okay.
You know, Law 41 down there, I mean, it'll have to have... Well, I guess if it's over 5 acres.
It's over 5 acres.
If it's under 5 acres, it'll have to have it.
This road will be on the plat. This road will be platted down to here. And as long as the road's platted and the tract is above 5 acres, that is sufficient. Again, electricity will be an issue. I'm not sure they would. I know in this area here, they probably don't want above ground utility lines.
I wouldn't think so near the, I don't know what your plans are, but you know, I wouldn't think so.
Electricity. Is this going to be cleared up, Eddie, from 58 to 65 there? Or is that going to be a...
Yes, sir, we can, before you approve, you can ask for a clarification.
Mm-hmm.
You get all this straightened out on the preliminary plat. However, I will tell you this, as this comes in, we'll get a plat showing this, you know, this green area, just the inside of that. And we would scrutinize each and every one of those lots to make sure that it's the right size, has the frontage, all the things like that. And then we'll say this won't work or this, you know, whatever the case might be. The same thing would happen down to here in phase three. We would look at this and go...
Separate.
On this one, we'd say, first of all, no cul-de-sac, but your drawing shows the cul-de-sac.
Yeah, that's nice.
But we've got some issues back in here. Now, this particular plat doesn't show anything. There could be a road there. I know there's not.
It shows on that one up there.
Well, there's still no road, though. On this one, there's no road to 61, 62,
yeah, back in here, these appear to be landlocked.
You can look at it if you like.
Okay.
I don't.
If you can't see it on there, it is on there. And what I'll do is just have them draw up that whole easement.
Well, the thing is, these show 2 acres, and if you were going to take a road out of part of those lots, it'd be under 2 acres.
Those aren't 2 acres.
Then also, lot 9 here on this particular drawing appears to be landlocked if you don't use the runway.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, which you would not want that to be happening.
And lot 32, you said earlier, you said a runway easement, but you meant a road easement, didn't you?
But see, there's a road right here.
Yeah,
taxi easement.
Well, but you're saying, though, Eddie, lot 32 has to have an easement to Brass Lane.
It has to have a dedicated road easement. It's got to have a road easement.
Or a road.
Or a road.
I mean, if it's less than 5 acres,
then the road, of course, has to meet minimum county standards. So
you're talking about lot 59.
No, 32.
He's talking 32. Right here. Because, see, I was concerned you don't see anything right here. And most of these were going to get their frontage off of Brass Lantern Road here and everything. But this lot here appears to be...
She said there was an easement across there earlier.
But when she said a runway easement. So I just wanted to clarify.
Well, it's taxi easement. So.
Yeah, but you can't have a taxi easement coming off of Brass Lantern.
Well, that would be future development. It would be their road frontage.
So if this plat came to us, we would have to reject it for this lot. We couldn't approve that.
Then what I would do is combine 32 and 33.
And that would give them the frontage that they
need. What about 59?
The main thing.
Combine that with 58 or...
For me, is that we just get it cleaned up this time so you don't have to wait any longer.
They may bring this down here and replat this in some other way. But I mean, this area down here is really...
I was thinking about just below the runway. The cul-de-sac ends, go below the runway. Right there, cul-de-sac ends there.
And that's 89.
89, I thought it was 59.
You said 59, that's why I was back.
Well, I can't read that far.
And that's what I mentioned, 89 doesn't have a dedicated road easement. And what our code book says is, we need a road easement that's declared to be a private road. As far as that. Now, whether they drive down the runway or not, I don't care. But when we do a plat, I've got to have a road frontage on a platted road easement.
Who did the platting? And I don't want names or anything like that, but it seems to me that whoever drew the lines created some of the problems that we're really dealing with
here.
There
were some, yeah. But There was a long story with that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sure there always is, but you know, why did they make some of the decisions that they made? And that's the question, is how can we remedy those?
A new survey.
Maybe.
I did.
Maybe. So. Okay. Anything else for the good of the order? Do you understand your homework for next Tuesday? And what is that homework?
I'm going to get your easement straightened out, and I'm going to present the final plat to Eddie probably tomorrow.
Okay.
Going to have signatures for every lot,
which
we have almost all of those.
So you're wanting notarized.
Yeah, they need. They would need.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then also the runway and the cul-de-sac. We didn't really talk about it, but the stuff that abuts right up against, right there, and also that cul-de-sac on 88. We need to make sure that those either can be right on the property line or find out how far they need
this
to be moved from. And I think they have to be moved off the core property a certain amount, which will then affect your lot amounts to the north.
Yeah, I'll take care of that.
Okay. I mean, because, you know, with the runway.
I'll call tomorrow also. And it may be that they've just made these lines so bold.
And it could be. I just want to, there's no reason, if we're going to get it cleaned up, let's get it cleaned up.
Okay. And does anybody else have homework for next Tuesday? And Eddie, what are you going to do?
I'm going to get in touch with the Corps of Engineers to make sure where we stand on this. I'm going to mark the sole properties. I'm going to make an overview and maybe give you one of these in color where you can see the properties that have been sold and where they lay and everything like that. We're going to make sure that the plat that she gives us meets the requirements for the county, whether you choose to do that in phases or the whole thing, whatever you might choose to do. But we will have each one of you a colored overlay of this so you can see exactly which properties have been sold and where they will fit into this.
And she'll make the changes to the lots that need to be like 157 and 33.
And it's not uncommon. For us to get things and then find out that properties have been landlocked and then changes haven't been made.
Yeah.
It happens occasionally. So we catch those, or generally catch those at when they bring in the plat approval.
Okay. Let's move on.
Okay. Thanks.
Everybody's straight on. No one signed up to speak, and we've spent an hour and some time on that. It's pretty amazing. Let's move on to, are there any permit renewal requests? No.
No, ma'am, we don't.
Then topics for February, but before we do that, let's do the election of officers for 2010.
As you're getting into that, can I make just one quick statement? Up for reappointment this now. Are you Ms. Kleinfelter and Ray Edwards, if I'm not mistaken? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Also, the commissioners are having some difficulty. I think we haven't been able to put our hands on the meeting where they actually voted in Mr. Pingleton and who was the other one?
Jim Bronner.
I don't know if you've been contacted by any of those commissioners or anything as of yet, Ms. Kleinfelter, or everything, but if it is your desire to continue to serve, we probably ought to let Mr. Pennell know, or if you're tired and want to get out of here, I probably should let him know.
I wouldn't miss the excitement on Monday night for anything.
But I believe they're going to go into the appointments. Now, your term is a four-year term, and you stay on until you're reappointed or somebody else is appointed, even though so your term has already expired, but you're still an active member here, and you still take part in the elections, and you can still, if they want you to be the chairman, you're still the chairman and everything. So,
same thing is true with Ray then from his township?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Until.
So, are we in classes? Somebody mentioned the class of.
I don't know if we are.
Whatever. Has anybody done a layout of the members of the commission?
Yes, ma'am. We have that, and we did give a history of each township. To the Jillian with the commissioner's office, and in each township it shows everybody who's been appointed, the years they've been appointed, when y'all were last appointed, when you're doing everything like that.
That information just might be interested looking for us.
We'll bring you a copy of it next Tuesday.
Okay.
More homework.
Pardon?
More homework.
More homework.
So do we need to do anything?
No, you need to appoint your officers or elect your officers and everything like that, but I just wanted to bring you up to speed, realizing that every year two people are supposed to rotate off. The commission appoints those people. I did not mention it to you all, but if you are interested in staying on, I don't know if they contacted you or anything like that, but you probably should make that known, or if you're just fed up with it and want to off, say, you get somebody for me and everything. But
so you say four-year terms.
Yes, ma'am.
For sentences.
Which?
Yeah.
And there are nine people on the commission.
Mr. Preston plays a little different than the rest of you. Each one of you represent a township with the exception of Mr. Preston. Mr. Preston is on here as the county engineer.
Okay, so there are eight people.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Election of officers.
I entertain a motion for Sarah Kleinfelder as chairman of the Board of County Police.
Okay, thank you.
Second.
Are there any other nominations?
Any other nominations at all?
I would nominate Sean Pinkleton as last year.
That's preemptive, wasn't it?
Preemptive strikes.
Are there any other nominations for vice chair? I'm sorry, I'm thinking.
He did.
Okay. Oh. Just that one for vice chair. There are no others for vice chair. Are there any nominations for any other office?
I'll nominate you.
No.
Secretary Treasurer.
Who's the Secretary Treasurer?
We don't have one.
We don't have one.
Okay, well, why don't we just deal with those two offices, hearing no others. Nominations are closed. All those in favor?
Make a suggestion about the
alternate. Aye.
All right. So, chair and vice chair. Now, do we need to fill? Do we need to fill the secretary treasurer?
I don't know. I believe our code book states that it's either Bonita, our one, or the secretary. That's automatic by.
Who has been our secretary treasurer? Has there been one?
I do not have a treasurer. We don't have any funds.
Let's have a treasurer.
How about secretary?
Secretary is a function of our code, and it's. It's either
need to be nominated.
No, it's either my position or it's Bonita.
So we're done.
No. I need y'all to think about one more thing. I need y'all to think about an alternate. We stood in the position, if everything runs smooth, it's no issue, but next week it's possible that the two of you will not be here. So we come in and say, any, meeny, miny, moe.
Ron, are you going to be
here next
week?
What do the bylaws say?
I don't think the bylaws...
Are you going to be here next week?
Any.
I may be.
But it would be nice to have an alternate.
Someone to act as
chair. I will probably be here. I've got to be in Joplin, and I've got to be there till 5. So I probably.
You should be here, but
if the highway patrol didn't stop me, I'll be here fine.
Right.
But, yeah, you'd be here.
But
if
I
stop me more than
here.
Twice, I might be in trouble. Be once, I'll be all right.
You want me to loan you a light?
Yeah, that'd be good. No, I should be fine. I just.
But that's separate and apart from next Tuesday. The question is, what happens if both the chair and the vice chair...
And we've had this happen before. Yeah.
What do our bylaws say about amending the bylaws?
Yeah, I'll be okay.
That can be done in February.
Only in February?
I don't know. I'll check that. That can be amended, yes.
Okay, why don't we amend the bylaws to provide for an alternate? Otherwise, by voting for an alternate, we're acting ultra vires anyway, so...
Yeah, ultra virus. I'm going to write that one down.
Yeah.
Beyond our powers.
That's all
the Let me ask you a question, Bob. I noticed with the elected commissioners, Mr. Pendle was on the other day, and so they had to make Danny the chair.
But that's by statute.
And they had, do we fall under anything like that?
No.
So, if they just walked in and we said,
you follow your
bylaws. You're it.
Somebody's just going to have to, they're going to have to find somebody that runs the meeting.
Okay.
But we really need something in the bylaws.
Okay. I'll check on that and let you know next week.
Homework. Okay. Other items for February. Issues to deal with. Remember, February is the one for amending the code and making recommendations for issues to deal with. I think so.
Real quickly, I am working, and a couple of these guys in here can tell you, it's boiled down to now basically what you said, write something for us to take apart. We tried meeting, and it kept getting more and more convoluted. The more people you add, the more convoluted it gets. So we're back down to the place where we're going to just present a document to you in February and let y'all take it apart however you see fit. We never did get past agricultural. So it's our intention to have something for you on that. Last year also we had several issues that we've been trying to get through the commission. Some of them we finished with, some of them we have not, and everything. And I'll give you an update on that at that meeting also. But if you have noticed an area in a code book, something needs to be changed, we can do with that, or we can you can write that down, and as we're working on this this thing with Aegis and everything, maybe just incorporate into that at that particular time. Mm-hmm. But if you know of an issue that has been an issue that's come up, you know, time and time again, we'll probably need to address it in February. So if you've got something like that, and you let us know before we get into the February meeting, we'll try to have some kind of agenda.
Can you get a copy of Camden County, and is Lake of the Ozarks in Camden County? You know, I'm trying to think of other areas in the state that would have the closest.
Yes, because that's where Chris Hall went.
Pardon?
That's where Chris Hall went at one point.
Right, okay.
I found a place in Oklahoma I really like, as far as the code book's concerned.
I would not move in.
People don't say that.
Okay.
Can we drag it over here?
But I think it would work well for us in a lot of areas, so. So we're just gonna we'll try to have something put together where we can attack it. It's very easy to get hung up on one thing.
Like goats.
Everybody's got a story.
What's goats the issue?
You don't want to know.
There are all kinds of issues. Mm-hmm. Goats.
We're talking agriculture and goats. Yeah.
Cows, chickens.
So anyway, we'll try to have something like that. But if you've got something you know that you need to have addressed, contact our office, let us know. And we'll try to do that while we're doing the rest of the stuff going on.
The only other thing that keeps biting us is the fractional ownership, timeshare.
Yeah.
So, are we going to address that at all?
Well, I think we will address that as part of this, because we're going to try and define a planned urban development. We're going to try and define some multifamily type units and things like that. One of the issues is trying to define an area without the use of building codes. And we keep running back into the same thing. We talk about a duplex. I don't have any problem with somebody owning half a duplex and some lot, and you only, but if the center wall is not built correctly, we open it up for a lot of issues, and we can't tell them you've got to build this center wall in a certain way so that if your roof leaks, it doesn't bleed over to this particular side over here. So I think we have an obligation to the public to help protect them as much as we can, but we don't have the ability to enforce any kind of a building code, so consequently we've got to be careful how we proceed with that. And that's my guess why we'll allow a duplex with one owner, and you can rent out either side or something like that, but we don't as a rule allow a duplex to have a substandard lot, zero lot line type situation. But it's some things that need to be addressed, or we need to quit permitting them.
In the future, because of the way that was voted last time, is there any consideration, so it's not precedent setting, that the properties that were considered, or property, I don't know if it was a single property or two, on the fractional ownership?
Right now, if you're doing fractional ownership, the property itself, the real property, is one lot.
Right.
And then each unit was going to have multiple owners.
But originally it was going to be whole ownership.
Yeah. And a lot of times we have definitions in our head.
One person bought his whole ownership in.
And that was the one next door. He bought with the understanding there would be one owner per unit total. Now, in Mr. Hover's place, that wasn't the understanding by those people. They didn't say it wasn't going to be, but they didn't say it was going to be.
Well, to affect any future decisions that we might make as a board, and I'm coming to grips with it, I know the neighborhood lived in it and everything else, would be precedent setting, not necessarily, because prior to the construction, these were nightly rentals.
Yes, sir.
So that, in my opinion, that in $4 will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks,
Well, would be that that doesn't mean anything anywhere else you go in the county.
And
you just make a decision based upon history or no history.
And we will, of course, we've gotten a lot more savvy, gentlemen, since the Hover project was approved, and we do ask questions now. Are you abandoning this and everything? Here's what we're allowing, and we're pretty specific. And we will try to be good about that. If we set up these new areas and define them a little better, it'll say this is not allowed here anymore. And so if you happen to have a resort that was doing nightly rentals and now you're changing it, that pre-existing non-conforming situation now goes away, and here's what you have. So that will help to take care of some of those situations. But we kind of got caught in a situation there where we didn't say no, and they said it's always been. That's been the use of the land, so that's what it still is.
Eddie, did Branson just have a bunch of dialogue on the same thing?
Branson had a bunch of dialogue on nightly rentals, if that's what you're asking me. And they voted to prohibit nightly rentals in their single-family residential areas. But
they didn't talk about fractional ownerships.
I'm not aware, but I can look and see. I'll go back and pull the records and see what I can find.
That may be
only nightly rentals in R1 districts.
Which is very small percentage of what they own.
That may be a nice, at least to have in our definitions, our glossary, to at least define. But, you know, since we do have some things here that maybe a lot of counties don't have, you know, we have a definition for rental property, or nightly rental. That's come in real handy.
Oklahoma doesn't have this ownership problem. Oh.
So the panhandle stuff won't work.
No wonder the county I'm looking at anyway.
No wonder it's a nice place to live.
Everybody owns 100 acres, and everybody builds in the middle of it.
But anyway, think about it over the next week or so, and if you think of something that needs to be addressed, contact our office and let us know. We'll kind of try and put some agenda together. But the way it looks to me right now, we're not going to try and bring anything else to you. We will update you on what we got accomplished in the past year, and try to have this document.
Short report, huh?
Well, I've asked every week, so 50%. I've asked every year, so I'll ask again. Is there any reason why we can't meet it? I'll even up it from 6 to 6:30. Why we can't meet at 6:30 instead of 7? I don't understand why we meet at 7.
Personally, as a staff, I don't think we have any qualms with meeting at 6.
We don't. Our problem in the past is our people that represent their townships in Big Creek, out at Pro Tem, Cedar Creek, all that. It needs to give them time to get home from work and to get here.
So that would be a decision that this board could make.
They don't have an issue.
I mean, I hunt Pro Tem. I can get from my house to Pro Tem in an hour, and I live on the other side of the town.
But will you have time to change clothes and eat dinner? I'm just saying.
If I had an early meeting, I could eat dinner after the meeting.
So you wouldn't have a problem. So I mean, I think
I'm just trying. You know, I said six before. Nobody liked that.
I think we should poll the board personally in February if they want to change.
Make a amendment of the bylaws to 6:30.
Well, I'll change. I've got here to check the bylaws anyway. So
okay. Hey, I ask every year, so I thought I'd try it again. Except I went for 6:30 instead.
You know, this time of year in the summertime when someone, if you get out of the meeting,
well, right now our meetings are. I mean, we don't have a lot of people. But there are times when it would be nice to have that start a half hour.
This time you're just making it.
We can make it stand.
Yeah. I would imagine that there's
one in there. I looked at where it could go in.
Well, no. I mean, I represent.
Do you guys all have a copy of your bylaws?
I don't see how that would be. I mean, there are meetings in the middle of the day all the time. County Commission is 9 o'clock in the morning.
The sewer board has their meetings during the day.
I can only answer for
you. Know, now I'm not saying we should do that in this case. I mean, it is nice to make it more convenient for the public. But
we're all so public too.
What about the people who were supposedly members, and that would cut the people that we have?
Well, we are a different county than most counties. Some people are working right now, and they work Saturdays and Sundays, and they work, you know. So I mean, it's not a normal. We're not a 8 to 5 Monday through Friday manufacturing type place.
Other boards do meet during the day, and people have learned that they've got urgent business before them. They take off and do. I'm not saying that's what we want to do.
No, I'm not suggesting that. I'm just suggesting like a little earlier.
But
I go for 6:30 now, work on 6 o'clock later.
Getting the rent.
During the day, getting this room might be an issue, but as far as going to 6 o'clock...
I don't think we should meet during the day.
Yeah, it's 6 or 6:30.
He's just saying an earlier meeting.
I'm just saying that I don't see much difference.
I'll make a motion.
Yeah.
I've got my gloves on. Are you ready?
I'm almost to adjourn.
Thanks, ladies and gentlemen.
It is adjourned.
Elvis left the building already.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, well, I will...
You want to give me your proxy? Yeah, I think they will pay for it. I need to see how the rules are.
I'm having my niece is going on Wednesday. So I get to do that Wednesday.
Oh.
So if I was going to hurt something, hopefully it would have been the knee I'm getting fixed.
But not necessarily.
No.
I said, if you don't want to come back.
No.
Why would
you commission that?
Well, I'd rather do it now than fail in mid-year. So, I mean, let me know up front. You know, I mean, that's always an option. You don't.
Okay.
I prefer to have the history.
Yeah. A heat wave.
It is.
Yeah, I woke up. Exactly. Last night is hot.
Well,
you know,
just
t-shirt weather.
Last week was tedious at best.
That was great.
The 120 days is just a simple break.
Well, he just said
they actually they have a year starting. Depends on what they're trying to accomplish now. If they come and bring me a plat and want to file so they can sell property, they can bond. Okay, so what we would do is we say, okay, so it costs this much to put your road in. They did come before planning and zoning. Because he owns that whole piece of property from